is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in to hour two of the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. Monday's always a big show here. We're recapping what was a busy, hectic, fun week six in the National Football League. Undefeateds no more for San Francisco as well as the Philadelphia Eagles, despite being big favorites yesterday. The Bills also a big favorite. They barely get it done on Sunday night against the walking wounded New York Football Giants in Miami, down 14-0 early, but no sweat. They turned on the boosters, end up winning by 21. Michael, yesterday was an interesting day and there's a lot to unpack. So I guess off the top here, what were some of your big takeaways, some big statements made? How'd you feel about week six?
Well, I thought week six was a bad red zone week for a lot of teams, right? I think there was a lot of teams that had to play games that were probably too close than they should have, but they did. And, you know, so that was, I thought Detroit made a statement. You know, everybody says Detroit on the road. A lot of people thought Tampa would be a good team to play. Every time you think you want to play Tampa against a good team, don't. I thought Derek Carr's inability to score in the red zone has killed the Saints. Everybody's been complaining about the Saints offense and Pete Carmichael not knowing how to call plays. And yet, you know, they put 400 yards. They can't get the ball in the red zone. The kicker misses two kicks. C.J. Stroud continued to play well, I thought, all week. And then, you know, the late games were fun. We didn't talk about the Rams-Cardinal game, but that game kind of went the way we thought it would. The longer it went, the less the Cardinals had a chance to win. And the reality of it is the Rams got going in the second half. And when you think about it, they just took the game over and they were able to win it going away.
And that was a good win for Survivor players as well, which unique to see a division game where you're picking a side and that being the biggest selection in Survivor. But that's how it was this week at Circa. The Rams end up getting through for folks. Win and cover is a 7-point favorite. And I feel like, Michael, I don't know, I feel like there were more like letdowns in my mind this week than monster performances where we're praising a lot of teams. It was more like, huh, that didn't really look the way that I was expecting it to look this week or the way that it should look this week. And I know for the Philadelphia Eagles specifically, like that's a team that's kind of been skating by a little bit recently. We thought that they were improving, but to see the turnovers that they had, to have the 14-3 lead early and then fall away they did against the Jets, that was one where I was just like, you should have won this game. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, and then the late turnover, too. All the mistakes they make, right? Third and eight, as Thomas Gable said, if they run the ball there, they may be able to just win the game without having to do anything. And then they turn it over there. So that's kind of got you saying, okay, what's going on? You know, like, what are they doing? But, look, they lost two of their linemen. You know, they knew going into the game they were going to be playing with the backup right guard. And then Lane Johnson gets hurt and they have to go. Now they've got two backups in the game. That was a problem for them. So with Cam Jurgens' injury, not in there. And then all of a sudden they don't have it. Now they're backups. And Hurts obviously was problematic. He started to get a lot of pressure. And then at the end of the day, really, the Jets, for the first time all year, they played great run defense. They really forced the Eagles to have to throw it more than they wanted to throw it. And they were able to put pressure on Hurts.
Yeah, three interceptions for Hurts, tied for the most in his career. His seven interceptions through six games, more than he had all of last season. So see if he can do a better job protecting the football moving forward. Some notable injuries. You mentioned Lane Johnson, but for the San Francisco 49ers, both Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel end up going down, expected to get some MRI results hopefully early this week. We did just get an update on Justin Fields, who had to leave the Bears game early. He was confirmed by Matt Eberflus at his press conference moments ago that it is a dislocated thumb. He is doubtful for the game this weekend coming up against the Raiders, said it's going to come down to grip strength. And then the Raiders, meanwhile, on the flip side, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo had to be taken to the hospital in an ambulance with a back injury, which that's not something we're used to seeing either, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is going to be a tough one, because even if he can play, you know, gripping that football is going to be a challenge, and getting it hit again could be a problem. I think they might list him as doubtful on Monday. There's no chance he's going to play on Sunday. And this is a little bit of the situation you get into as well, because, you know, it's not one of those where, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to run. You got to change the offense a little bit, depending on who's going to play. And I think that becomes an issue too, right? So we know Fields won't be practicing Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday probably. And so that means they need to get Tyson Badgett ready to go. You know, they got Nathan Peterman on the team. He's hurt. And Badgett's the only healthy quarterback they have right now. So figure it's going to be Badgett going in there and see if they can run the football against the Raiders. But they have both their running backs are hurt right now.
Yeah, it didn't look awesome for Badgett. That's the way I'll put it for there. They're getting three at home hosting the Raiders in that spot. Also, Thursday night football, quarterback injury potentially impacting there. Trevor Lawrence believed to have avoided major injury with that knee. Doug Peterson calling him day-to-day in his press conference as of now. Ryan Tannehill, he'll get a bye, but he was carted off with an ankle injury in London. So some time to figure out that situation as well.
Yeah, and the Jags, we got to pay attention to the Jags. It's early. The Lions, the Saints are favored by 1.5, which is shocking, right? Maybe ones in some market.
Yep.
But Sheriff, Brandon Sheriff, the guard. Yep. Sheriff, the guard got hurt. Walker Little got hurt in the game. Zay Jones is not healthy. So they've got a lot of guys hurt on their team right now, and they're on a short week. Meanwhile, I don't think the Saints got anybody hurt, and we'll see if the Saints can make any plays at home.
Let's push this forward to Monday Night Football coming up tonight. Mm-hmm. We got the Cowboys visiting Los Angeles, taking on the Chargers. 1.5-point spread there with the visiting Cowboys favored. Total up from 47.5 to now 50.5. And so this Chargers team is coming off a bye. They're getting healthier. Speaking of quarterbacks, Justin Herbert has a broken middle finger on his non-throwing hand, but he's not expected to be limited in any way. And the Cowboys, coming off a beatdown, they got embarrassed in primetime last week against the San Francisco 49ers. How do you expect them to respond in this spot under the lights once again?
I think they have to. They'll respond well, because here's why. When McCarthy can run the football, they're a better team. And they couldn't run the ball against San Francisco, which he's got to sit there and watch that Browns tape and say, wait a minute, they ran the ball, the Browns ran it against them. So Mike Solari, the offensive line coach, and McCarthy are going to have to figure out how to run the ball on San Francisco. But you're also, tonight going in, you can run the ball on the Chargers. I don't think Joey Bosa is going to play. It doesn't sound like it by reading the tea leaves. So if he doesn't play, and you know, you can run the ball inside, I know Eckler's going to play. But if they can run the ball, that opens up the offense for the Cowboys. And McCarthy's play sheet. McCarthy needs to run the ball. You can criticize his play calling and you can say his offense is boring. All those things may and may well not be true, but running the football, when they are doing that well, they're a better football team, the Cowboys. And I think they will run the ball tonight. And I think they'll play well tonight. I really do. I think they were embarrassed last week. They see the Eagles losing. Mm-hmm. Here's a chance to pick up a game, get back into the race a little bit. You let this one slip away, there's not going to be too many times you're going to go in there and catch the Eagles losing.
I think for both of these teams, it's a pretty critical weekend, Michael, because Dallas, to your point, trying to make up some of that ground in the division, to capitalize on the moment with Philly going down, and then the Chargers. This AFC West battle with the Kansas City Chiefs, if you lose this game, that's just going to become a bigger, bigger hill for you to climb. You mentioned Joey Bosa from an injury standpoint. He's officially listed as questionable, did not practice on Thursday or Friday of this week, was listed as limited on Saturday. Donald Parham, also questionable. For the Cowboys, the definite outs, no Leighton Vander Esch or C.J. Goodwin. And Austin Eckler, to your point, no designation. He practiced all week coming back from the high ankle that he suffered the opening week of the season. And the Chargers haven't run the ball as effectively since that game. Like, that was the most yards that they had on the ground since week one of last season. And of course, a reliable pass catcher for Justin Herbert as well, without Mike Williams for the year. He's going to be really, really critical to the Chargers' success. In terms of the way that this game has been bet, according to our VSiN.com betting splits page, 71% of the handle is coming in on the Cowboys, Michael. Ticket count, a more even split, still 58% of the money on Dallas, yet this line has moved in favor of the Chargers, down from 2.5 to 1.5. So perhaps a little smart money here. I use that term smart, you know, loosely, obviously, yeah, in some of these spots, yeah, but on Los Angeles in this spot, actually, tonight.
I love that. I love that term, smart money, sharp money. You, yeah, know, like, I don't know what gets you in that category, because like yesterday, the sharp money was all over Tampa, lost. Yesterday, the sharp money was all over the New Orleans, me included, lost, you know, so I don't know what that just means. Somebody's algorithm says that should be the play. I don't know. I think, look, the Cowboys can block them up front and they'll be able, CeeDee Lamb will get going. They'll get him going. The question's going to be is, what can Justin Herbert do in the second half? I mean, when you really go over his numbers, Stormy, and you study him in the second half, that second half game against the Raiders was not good, right? He did not move the ball. The Raiders came back into that one, and they were able to make it a game. They're throwing interception on the 1 yard line. So when you go, and he's really good in the first half, but in the second half, in terms of covering spreads, in terms of he doesn't hold a lead. I mean, think about this number now. He's 7-24-2 in 7-24-2 in the second half against the spread when leading at halftime. Think about that.
Yeah.
Now you want to blame him or you want to blame my man Staley? You decide.
This is also the joystick game, Michael.
Yeah.
Can't forget about that.
No, and I think there should be somebody from in a game. Like, we should probably get, like, whoever does the Madden game probably should do the coin toss, too. You know, whoever invented EA Sports should do the coin toss, right?
That's excellent. Don't you think? That's excellent.
I mean, we should have that. But just think about this now, Stormy. Halftime tonight, remember this. He's 7-24-2 against the spread when leading at half, Justin Herbert. And he's a really good player. So tell me how good Staley is. I know he's analytical. So why would we look at those analytical numbers? They don't apply to him.
Michael, I do have the Chargers in the as a contest play this week, so you're not making me feel particularly confident.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you because Russo has the Cowboys tonight, so I'm definitely rooting for you.
Okay, there we go. Step Into My Office is next. You won't want to miss it.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Now, I mentioned off the top of the show, there were some, let's call it, wonky performances in the NFL yesterday, and quite frankly, some in college football as well. So there are some people that need a talking to. If it is your first time joining us on the Lombardi Line, this is the time of the show where we have those people step into the office of Mr. Michael Lombardi. Michael, are you ready to hit some people with some hard truths? Love to hear
it. You bet. Let's do it.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk where you're Step Into My Office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Brock Purdy, it's not personal. It's not personal, but for the first time, it turns out he is not AI. He is not a robot or a machine. Brock Purdy is human. He finished the game yesterday, their first loss of the season, 12 of 27 for 125 yards, a touchdown, had his first interception of the year, his first regular season loss as a starter for the San Francisco 49ers. Did see two of his key weapons go down in the game. Michael lost Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey at key points, still awaiting MRIs for their future. What should Brock Purdy take away from this loss? If he's sitting down at the desk right now, How are you informing him that he should respond?
Well, that was the best defense other than yours that you're going to see all year. And you led the team back, had him in a position to win the game. You fought through adversity. I was proud of you. I thought you did a hell of a job. Everybody's counting on you to throw four picks and lose the game. I know the weather was hard. I know the wind was challenging. But I thought you did everything you could do. And I think you reinforced yourself to your teammates. And now I think you can really take command of the team and take ownership of the team because it's on your shoulders. Whenever you lead a team back and put them in position to win the game, especially with limited amount of time left on the clock, you're going to endear yourself to your teammates. This is one of the problems Mac Jones has in New England. Every time the game's close, no one has confidence he's going to be able to win the game. You do. And I think that's really important. And I think you should use this game as a measuring stick. You can't go this long without playing well. You got to kind of regroup yourself. But the mental toughness you're going to get out of this game is going to take you really a long way. And just know, there will not be a better defense than you're going to face in terms of pass rush, in terms of man-to-man coverage. And the weather, it's probably not going to be any worse based on the wind. So learn from the game, move forward.
Yeah, this next week at Minnesota, you're in a dome. You don't even worry about any weather. Step forward. No Mac Jones in the office today because, in my mind, he is beyond repair at this point. Somebody who is our guy Jalen Hurts, who had another uncharacteristic performance. Three interceptions for him in the Eagles' loss to the Jets. First time in franchise history that the Eagles have lost this matchup with New York. What does Hurts need to hear to improve, to regain the MVP thought process that we have had about Jalen Hurts?
Well, I think, Jalen, what you have to kind of do is just not personalize it, right? Is, you know this. You know, we're in the betting community, and we understand that, you know, that there are times when you're on the road, you haven't played your best. You're 9-13 against the spread on the road since 2020. So you're going to have some of these days. You just can't make them worse, right? You just can't make them worse. You can't turn a pick over in the last 2 minutes. And you know this, we got to score in the second half. The biggest mistake we made in this game was our inability to score in the second half. If we put anything on the board, we're going to win the game. And I think you can get that back. But I really believe that this will be a learning experience for you as you go forward. And I think you should nail it down more on the road. I think there's something going on when you go on the road to have this kind of ATS number when you're a road favorite now. So I think ultimately that's something you can work on, and you got to get the run game. And another thing I would really urge you to do is try to avoid some of these hits. You're running the ball almost 10 times a game this year. Your numbers aren't as high. They're not as high as they were in 2021. And I think you got to be careful, because remember, last year you did get hurt. And if you get hurt with this offensive line, the way it's playing because of the injuries, that can be a problem for the team. So look, the key for you is come out the second half, got to play faster, and we got to start playing better on the road.
Yeah, I threw MVP out there. He probably would have and should have won MVP last year had he not been injured and missed those last couple of games of the regular season. Now, instead of Big Blue, it's been Big Bad for the New York Giants and Brian Daboll in year two of his head coaching career. After winning Coach of the Year a season ago, a 1-5 start for the Giants. They had two possessions at the goal line against the Bills, one at the end of the first half, one to close out the game, neither of which resulted in points for them. 0-5 in the red zone yesterday. What's different about this year and the coaching job for Brian Daboll? What does he need to hear today?
You know, Brian, I know you really well, and I feel like you're wearing your expectations on your sleeve. Like, I get a sense of desperation from you when I watch you coach, not courage. Last year, I thought you were under control. I thought you had everything that you wanted was happening, and you were calm. Look, nobody can be like Belichick in terms of how you coach and the style. You have your own way of doing it. But what we could all learn from him is to understand that you have to think, and you have to be calm to think, and you can't overreact. And your behavior on the sidelines, to me, is a little bit too emotional. I feel like you expect the team, because of where you were last year, you're kind of expecting it to get back there this year. Be a little bit more analytical. Take some time. Step away. You're trying to rush everything through. And now you're starting to yell at everybody, and you look out of control. And the team looks to you. Every team looks to their head coach to see if he's under control, to see how he's behaving, to see how he's reacting. And when you panic, guess what happens? They panic. And that's what I see. And you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to stop that. I know you want to get this turned around, but it's not going to turn around with a win. It's not going to turn around with a first down. It's not going to turn around with a bad call. It's going to turn around with consistency. And I think you got to get that back. I really do. And I think you got to start behaving in a more calm manner and think about the game, not react to the game.
And whether this is reality or not, at least for me, from the outside looking in, it looks like he's playing the blame game a little bit too much. Like, yeah. I'm not the problem. You guys are the problem. Let's fix X, Y, and Z. Like, take a little bit more ownership on yourself and let's get this ship turned back around. How about Deion's?
I kind of agree with you, Stormy. That's a great point, because I think the coach of the – I think it's gone – I said this about the Giants. They have that disease of me going on with them, and I think a little bit of it is there too. I mean, like, I won Coach of the Year. I know what I'm doing. No, wait a minute. You have to prove yourself every year. Every year you got to prove yourself, and you're reacting not in the best interest of your team.
How about Deion Sanders? they had a massive lead against the Stanford Cardinal this past weekend, led 29-0 entering the third quarter, end up losing in double overtime, 46-43, the 29-point comeback, the largest in Stanford football history and the worst loss, blowout, blown lead in Colorado's history. How can Coach Prime rally the troops? Because there was a lot of I and me in his press conference this week.
Yeah, I think that's got to stop. I mean, you're now part of it. You're no longer just a franchise or a brand. You're part of the Colorado team, and they're your teammates. And if you start to stalk I and them, no matter how popular, no matter how big your brand is, you're going to lose your leadership culture, and you can't do that. Look, here's the reality. You're going to need to learn these things as you go along. Nobody prepares himself to be a head coach until you're actually on the job. And I think ultimately you will learn. But you can't run tempo when you're up. Right, it's like at some point during the game, you got to figure out who's the opponent. Is it the clock or is it Stanford? And so when you could slow the game down, you got to slow it down. I know it doesn't fit your style. I know it doesn't fit who you are. But I think sometimes we have to be more adaptive. And I think you should learn from this. I think you should embrace it. I think you should basically take it on your shoulders and say, look, that's on me. Because the coach loses a 29-point lead, not the players.
We'll talk about that game a little bit more when Mike Pritchard, former Colorado alum, joins us as well. Last one here, Derek Carr threw for 353 passing yards, but the Saints offense only had 13 points against the Texans. He said postgame, the yards are great, but I couldn't care less. I just want to win. Well, they haven't dropped three of their last four games. What does Carr need to do differently to turn the stats into W's in the win column?
Hey, Derek, you got to stop throwing checkdowns. Like, I mean, you say that the stats don't mean anything, but you're getting all these completions and they're not going anywhere. Like, we got to finish the game in the red zone. You got to make plays in the red zone. And when you get a chance to move around in the pocket and you're out of the pocket, you got to make a play. You just can't throw the ball away. Like, they're looking on you. They brought you in here to give them more juice in their offense. And frankly, what you're giving them is completions and no points. You're playing on a team that has a really good defense. So that whole excuse that you had your entire career in Las Vegas was, you know, you're a great player. All you need is to get with a great defense. Well, now you're with a great defense. They did a great job on C.J. Stroud. They gave him his first interception, even though they turned it back over on the fumble. They played well, stopped the run game, got you the ball back with a chance to win it. You got to stop throwing checkdowns. You got to make plays. That's what you get paid to do, make plays.
And I have been the Derek Carr apologist in large part for that reason, for the defense that he has had in Vegas. You can't use that excuse anymore. Hit the nail on the head there, Michael. Great stuff, as always, with Step Into My Office. Sometimes people just need to hear those hard truths. Mike Pritchard might need to hear some hard truths about his Colorado Buffaloes as well. No, I'm just kidding you. We will get his breakdown, though, of that game, what to expect from them moving forward, as well as his takeaways from week six in the NFL. Looking forward to Pritch's points.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits. Another way VSIN is here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com, and we'll revisit those betting splits for one day Night Football a little bit later on in the program. For now, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome into the show the one and only Mike Pritchard, our NFL lead analyst here at the network. Of course, a former CU Buff as well, won a national championship with those guys from Boulder. And Pritch, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm just going to ask you one short question. What happened? What happened?
Oh, well, I wish I knew what happened, other than the fact that they stopped competing, other than the fact that there was a ton of breakdowns, and other than the fact that number 13 for Stanford just whipped our behinds. I mean, wow. You knew what was happening, right? You're watching the game. You knew they're going to run a slant. You knew they're going to throw the ball to them. See, you double teamed them. They triple teamed them at times, and they couldn't stop them. And that is atrocious. That was a learning lesson. I mean, I think. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat it or see you got their butts whipped, and rightly so, right? You know, maybe believe in the press clippings and all the hype about the program and everything. And it has been remarkable. But this one's going to hurt it's going to hurt for a while. And to be honest with you, I'm glad it happened, because I think in order to become great, you have to build up calluses. In order for Tom Brady to be great, he had to be drafted in the sixth round, right? I think truly, in order for you to overcome things, you have to experience heartache. You have to experience shock. You have to see things from a difficult point of view. And so that's what happened. You know, they got whipped on national TV, and now they're going to have to get better. So I hope this is a wake up call for the program and for the fellas out there.
Mike, do you think all this tension that they get, all the hoopla, kind of can wear on the team?
Yes and no. Yes, because I think not everybody can handle it. And Coach Prime has talked about it. You know, they all say that they want it, but not everybody can truly handle it. Whereas Coach Prime can handle it, and Deion Sanders can handle it. I think Shadur, his son, and Shiloh as well, they can handle it because they've been in the spotlight their entire lives, right? And so they're used to it. I guess it's your own worst enemy, really, when you think about it. All the attention and all the glamour and all the glitz and all the money that you could possibly make because you're creating a brand. But if you're not successful with the brand, then here comes all the hate, too. And can you handle it? You know, we say that about young quarterbacks often, especially in the National Football League. You can probably handle failure. You know, there's something that you're probably going to get used to, or there's something you have to overcome and you get it. But can you handle success? And can you sustain it, right? And the great ones learn how to do that, or the consistent ones learn how to do that.
VSiN senior NFL analyst Mike Pritchard joining the program, spent nearly a decade in the National Football League as a wide receiver. And we'll get to the NFL in one moment, but I have one more follow-up when it comes to Colorado. I know you cashed the season win total bet. You're already, you know, feeling fat and happy about it. But how many wins do you think that Colorado ultimately will end up with this season? Because they still have some tough ones on their schedule and they're fighting for bowl eligibility.
Yeah, I think if they build those calluses, Stormy, I think if they understand how difficult it is to win and what you got to do to win each and every week, it's not going to come easy. You're not going to have to, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat at the end of the game, you know, like the CU has done and been fortunate that way. You got to work. You got to get after it. You can't make mistakes. And certainly got to close out a game if you have the lead. I think they can get two more wins. You know, the schedule does get difficult. It's the Pac-12 and we know each and every weekend, you know, too much griping too, though, because Coach Prime said this. He hated the 8 o'clock start time locally. I mean, just go out there and kick the football off and play football. Too much griping from that standpoint. So I like the fact that they can build a callus, and if they can learn from it, then yeah, I think we can eke out two more wins, to be honest with you.
Mike, you're loving teasers. I know you're the teaser champion here at VSiN. So talk about the teasers this week in the NFL.
Well, Michael, I mean, scoring is down. I mean, I think subpar, below average, sometimes quarterback play too, has really tightened up these games, right? And so there's the obvious teasers I think people look for, you know, like the 49ers because they're really good, or the Eagles, you know, you can get them to a half a point. To me, some of the better teasers are those two teams that meet in the middle. Like, in other words, if you got two teams that are averaging around 20 points a game or 22 points a game. I mean, my goodness, those are great opportunities in my book for not only teasers, but parlays. I back-to-back weeks with three team parlays have been successful because of looking at these situations. Here's what I mean. So say, you know, we have red zone inefficiency. We have quarterback play that's subpar and below average really most of the time. You have teams out there that are scoring one touchdown and kicking three and four field goals. I mean, you kick four field goals and a touchdown, that's 19 points, right? And then if you go for two, okay, that's 20 points. And so if the bulk of the National Football League is scoring less than 25 points a game, I'm in that range with a 6-point teaser. It's just picking those matchups, finding out where the edges are as well. And that's been beneficial for me the last few weeks.
I want to ask you about your former team in the Atlanta Falcons and their quarterback situation. Speaking of quarterback inefficiency, second time in 3 weeks he's had three turnovers. I know that Arthur Smith loves Desmond Ridder's intangibles, but at some point we need to see the consistency in the tangible evidence on the football field. How long should the leash be for Desmond Ridder with Taylor Heinicke kind of sitting there, a veteran guy who, you know, has been in that position? What's your outlook on the quarterback situation in Atlanta?
Yeah, Stormy, I think we talked about this before. I think, you know, Arthur Smith can only go so far with Ridder. You have to make a change, and you know, you're a play caller too, but then also as a head coach, you don't want to lose the faith of that locker room. I think that locker room feels like they're a good enough team to compete and win the division, but are they a good enough team to compete and win a division with that guy at quarterback? And I think you're losing faith in that at this point. At least I would as a teammate. I mean, I'm like, what are we doing here when we have so many chances of winning a game, but this guy is making mistake after mistake after mistake. He's poor technique at times, and he's not giving us a chance to win. I mean, we're immensely talented, but yet one person is holding us back. It feels that way, right? So if you're Arthur Smith, you have to look at the totality of that situation more so than trying to get this quarterback right, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mike, you know, but when I watched the tape this morning of it, I thought he made some really good plays. I don't know if they score. They turn the ball over. They punt return. The interception at the beginning of the second half was a disaster. I don't know what happened on the play, but do you really think Taylor Heinicke is going to play much better and not turn the ball over?
Well, I think the turnovers, you know, the second half turnovers are the ones that are highlighted and they stand out the most with Ridder. I think you give it a chance because as a player, if I was out there fumbling the rock, I mean, I'd be on the bench, right? Yeah. If I was out there dropping touchdown passes, I'd be on the bench. I'd be replaced. Whereas, you know, you got Ridder out there. Okay. He's throwing picks and we have chances to win. Okay. Why are we still sticking with this? And it's not changing. I think if there was enough good, then you could probably take the bad. So there's that balancing act right there, I think, for Arthur Smith, but he's got to consider. I think Heinicke, he's a gunslinger, and he might throw his picks, fair share of picks, but I think he's experienced enough, too, to perhaps the fellas can rely on that and have faith in that. And at this point, I mean, I think a young team like this, it's all about confidence, too, with the Falcons.
Yeah, and I just asked the question because we know that there are the weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And Desmond Ridder, we saw last week where he has maybe the best game of his career as a starter. You wonder, hey, can we take another step forward and build on this? And instead, it felt like, you know, another little step in the other direction. 90 seconds here, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Football tonight, Chargers, Cowboys. Do the Cowboys bounce back or is this a good week for the Chargers off a bye?
Well, I like the matchup. I mean, these are two teams that, and talk about red zone, they created double-digit red zone opportunities for themselves. The matchup, obviously, is going to be that defense for the Cowboys and in the Chargers and an offense. But the thing about the Cowboys is they have a finesse opponent with the Chargers, and I think that plays right into their hands and what they prefer. Like, they don't want those matchups, Stormy, where they're going up against San Francisco or physical teams, right? Because they're not built up that way. They don't have that mindset. Whereas a finesse team, and we saw that last night with the Giants and the Bills, a finesse team. Okay, now you're in our wheelhouse and we feel confident. So I like the Cowboys. It's not going to be a road game if you think about it out there in L.A. I like the Cowboys laying a point and a half in this one.
Appreciate your time, Pritch. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, appreciate Pritch. You guys. Thank you.
And college football is better when Colorado football is good. And all the stuff with Deion Sanders, I think, is great. We just need to keep winning games and keep making it a good story, right? So I'm rooting for CU moving forward. Let's get those boys bowl eligible. I know the TV networks want them in a bowl game. They want that extra one. We know. We got to take a break. We're wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We are wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We're also wrapping up week six tonight. Monday Night Football coming up this evening. The Los Angeles Chargers playing host to the Dallas Cowboys. If you look at our latest betting split, 71% of the handle coming in on the Cowboys. Ticket count, much more even split, 58% on Dallas. Yet the line has moved in favor of the Chargers. We're down to 1.5 in this spot. The total has ticked up over 50. And Michael, one important thing to note as it pertains to this Monday Night Football contest is going to be our pro tip that you're bringing to us about Justin Herbert in the second half. I'm very interested.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you watch him and watch him play and go through the games, and I'm blaming this on him more than I am blame. I mean, he gets the blame for this, but I'm not sure it's all his fault, right? You know, because sometimes the decisions that are made in the second half are not very good. But the fact is he can't hold the lead. He's 7-24-2 against the spread when leading at halftime. Think about that, 7-24-2 when leading at halftime. You know, and he's 15-34-5 against the spread in the second half. He's 247th out of 250 quarterbacks in second half ATS profitability. So now, you know, when he has the lead at the half in a night game, let's take it one step further. Tonight will be a night game. When he has the lead at half in a night game, he's 1-9-1 in the second half. In night games overall, with the spotlight on these Chargers under the direction of Mr. Staley, the Chargers are 2-10-1 in the second half against the spread. You want to take them? Go ahead. I'm not so sure. I'm rooting for them because my man Russo took them in our contest. I'm rooting hard for the Chargers to win this. So he goes 1-2 and I go 2-1 for the week. However, that being said, I don't think you can argue with these numbers.
Yeah, we talk all the time about how trends aren't necessarily like a reason to bet something or to not bet something, but it really just gives you some perspective and can sometimes say, maybe I want to hold off on doing this. But there have been some really good live betting opportunities, some second half betting opportunities this weekend, particularly in the NFL. So great stat, I think, to be aware of coming into this Monday Night Football contest. Again, remember, VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com. Every show does them, searchable by sport and by show. I am trying to close out what's been a really good weekend in the contest for me. 4-0 with the picks yesterday. Need to get the Chargers plus 2.5 through to close that out. So I too will be rooting for it, but I don't have any actual like spread or total bets tonight. The total has gone up a good bit, Michael, from 47.5 at the opener to now what we're seeing, 50.5. Do you think this could be kind of a higher flying back and forth game between these two?
I do. I really do. I think, you know, and without Mike Williams, I think so. They'll still make plays. Look, the Cowboys secondary's got to prove without Tay Diggs they can make some plays. And Eckler will be back in there, which I think will help the scoring, especially in the red zone for the Chargers. And they've got to be able to hold on. I think the Cowboys play well tonight. I'd be surprised if they didn't. So I think they will. But I do think both teams can move the football. I think we learned last week that the Cowboy defense, Arizona moved the ball on them and won. And we saw last week how easily the 49ers moved. Now, we know the 49ers are good. But if you're an elite defense, you do what Cleveland did to them, not what Dallas did.
And with that, some high passing numbers when it comes to the prop market going into tonight for both Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert. 25.5, the completions number, 36.5 attempts for Justin Herbert, 22.5 and 34.5 completions and attempts for Dak Prescott. The yardage numbers, both over 255. And I mean, Dak last week against San Francisco, Michael, had 3 interceptions. Should we be back? I mean, and he's been interception prone. We know last year we talked about working out the kinks this season. Haven't really seen success in that area yet. Like, is it a good bet to continue to back Dak to have a pick?
I think you back Dak when you believe the team can run the football, right? I think you back Dak if he's got back. Look, I think Dak is a good quarterback. I don't think he's an elite player. He's paid like an elite one. But let's not go there, right? I think Dak is better when there's balance within all quarterbacks are. Look at Jalen Hurts yesterday. They had no running game. He threw three interceptions. So you need balance in your attack. And I think he's better when they can get the ball moving on the ground. And I think they will tonight.
Just a final injury report update for you guys before we move on here. The Cowboys are definitely going to be without Leighton Vander Esch and CJ Goodwin. Tony Pollard been practicing all week with that shoulder. He's going to be back. On the Chargers side of things, Justin Herbert should have no restrictions on that fractured middle finger on his non-throwing hand that he injured week 4, plus coming off the bye, a little extra time. Austin Eckler also no designation. He's going to be back there, and he's going to be a critical rushing piece as well as in the pass game. He last year led the team in targets and reception. So without Mike Williams, that much more important in all areas there. Okay, Michael, a question that you and I have been kind of like going back and forth on in commercial breaks today is about the NFC South. First of all, I mean, rough football this season and last season too. Like, this is what we anticipated coming into the year. But there were like some moments where we thought, hey, like the Panthers could be pretty good. 0-5. Just keeps getting worse. Yeah. Not great. The Buccaneers, they were leading the division. Things were feeling good. They get brought back down to earth. Falcons have had their struggles. Saints are really struggling on offense. Lost 3 of their last 4 games. Like, who is the best team in this division?
I mean, look, every time the Bucs have to play a good team, they get beat. Everybody bets them and they get beat. So I don't know about that. I don't know where this is going to lead for the Saints. They can't score. I mean, they had a chance to beat Houston in that game. They should have. They dominated them in the stats. My answer to you is I don't know. My sense of it is it's Tampa. Tampa was good on defense yesterday. I don't trust Baker. You don't trust. Nobody trusts Baker. And when the level of comp increases, I think it's going to be hard for him. I really do. But I think you can remove Carolina. Carolina's making a change at play caller. Frank Wright says he's no longer going to call the plays. Thomas Brown will. How is that going to change anything? He's still going to be involved in the game plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I feel like
you think Frank Wright's going to take a vacation and go somewhere?
No, I'm not saying that. Like, I feel like, based on the lack of success that they have had consistently, like, he just needs to focus on making the team a team and stop making excuses and give that part of the game to somebody else. So I know he'll still be a part of the game plan, but the play calling specifically, I think that's a really good thing for Carolina to take that off of his plate and give it to somebody else.
Well, he definitely needs stuff off his plate. There's no question about that. His plate's too full. And the team, look, the team's offensive line. I mean, yesterday was they go up 14, Stormy, and they still don't cover.
Yep.
I mean, if you're sitting there holding a ticket for the Panthers, you're saying, okay, we got this one. I got 14 means and then you don't score again. I mean, you get the pick 6 off Mike White, but for me, so take them out of it. Atlanta, they played really good defense yesterday, gave up less than 200 yards on defense, but they turned the ball over. Their special teams didn't cover, and Washington walks in there and wins the game and should never have won. I don't know about them. New Orleans, he should have won that game. 400 yards of offense, like Atlanta, can't close it out. Tampa played their usually good defense. Jameson Williams' catch was incredible, right? I mean, that, you know, that's just a player making a play there. Nothing you can do about that. So to me, I think it comes down to Tampa.
Yeah.
So I mean, Tampa stopped Detroit from running the football. They did some good things, but they just couldn't make any plays offensively. And Mike Evans had some drops.
Tampa, I feel like, is my gut as well, and it'd be the best number, at least right now, among the three teams that are contending for a division role, 2-1 versus the Falcons, +175, Saints, +170, but I mean, all still in the same wheelhouse. But my problem is, I feel like none of those three teams have a separator, have the one thing that makes you say, no, when push comes to shove, they're going to elevate above the rest. I really don't see it. And the schedules aren't particularly easy either, aside from playing each other and getting to beat up on each other in the division. So it's a really, really weird thing. And when we look at some of these other divisions that have really, really good teams and are really competitive, it's just weird that this is competitive, but in like the worst way for the NFC South.
Yeah. So the question I have to ask you is, which one of these teams, whoever wins it, say it's Tampa, do you think they can win a playoff game? Do you think they could beat the 5th seed?
So my gut wants to say no, Michael, but the NFL is so freaking weird that once you get to the, like, anything can happen, right? Anything can happen.
That's right. Anything could happen. That's right.
That's just how I feel about that. The NFL has been so weird this season, but it is what it is. Great show as always on a Monday, Michael. When we're recapping everything that happens on Sunday, I just know we're going to have fun because it's mayhem. College football and the NFL, and it's week six, and you think you have teams figured out, and we don't, and it is what it is. That's a wrap for today. Sharp Money is coming up next if you're watching on VSiN. Pablo Torre on DraftKings Network. But come on back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Michael and I on the Lombardi Line.